Hello, Steve. Hello, Jill. It's time to game classy.
Wednesday. Wednesday.
So on today's episode, we're going to give our total recap of the World Cup. I'm going to be discussing soccer.
Brought to you by LaCroix.
LaCroix. When your 40-year-old white woman wants to be refreshed, give her a LaCroix.
I'm a LaCroix boy.
You're a LaCroix boy. That's for sure.
So is Giuseppe. He's on keto diet now as well.
Oh, yeah.
So he's now also a LaCroix boy.
What makes that special for keto?
There's no sugar.
Okay.
There's no sugar and there's no fake sugars. Like, diet soda's okay, but you really shouldn't drink a lot.
Yeah.
Like, you should probably, like, the ideal is zero, but, you know.
Let me tell you this.
This is fine. You can chug as much of this as you want.
I normally only drink Diet Coke. That's my thing. Sometimes every once in a while I'll be like, man, I could go for, like, a Diet Dr. Pepper. And that's when I splurge.
Ooh.
Yeah. But the other day I had a Diet Red Bull, the sugar-free Red Bull.
Yeah.
I felt like I was like craving sugar the rest of the day. That's all I wanted to do was eat sugar after having one of those.
Will juice you and make you wanna eat a donut.
Juice, yeah. We're recording it early this week because my wife was like, "Oh, we have this going on Saturday and this going on Sunday." I'm like, "It's recording week. What are you doing?" And she's like, "Oh, I thought that was last week." I'm like, "No, I spent all last weekend with you too." Oh, that's my home life right there.
Nice.
Yes. So we're recording a little bit early. Steve's a little more spry because it's the night, and I'm a little more exhausted.
And I haven't eaten for 3 days.
Oh, that's always fun.
I'm on a fast.
Oh.
Yes.
You and Jesus both.
Jesus can suck my dick.
Is this your, like, Ramadan? Are you Ramadan?
Yes.
You're Ramadan-ing?
Yes.
Ramalama-ding-dong?
Yes.
Yeah. So we're, I'm a little exhausted, too, because it's past 7 o'clock on a weeknight,
past
which means I'm like, exhausted. Welcome to my life. So we're gonna talk some game stuff. Gen Con coming up next weekend.
I'll get it at Gen Con.
You're not going to Gen Con though, right?
Not going to Gen Con.
You're not doing a Shadespire tournament.
Nah.
It's a
lot of money just to go to a Shadespire tournament. And while it would be pretty cool, it's a lot of money to go to a Shadespire tournament.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you can go for free.
Yeah, but there's the hotel room and then paying for the events and paying.
See, I don't do hotels anymore.
Also, I can't go for free because if you have the press badge, you still can't do events. You have to buy an attendee badge. Really? Did they change that? Because before, if you had the press badge, they wouldn't let you buy.
Oh, I was always able to do it.
Yeah.
Oh. Well, maybe
they were slipping you through a loophole or something.
I could talk about this off air, but there's a way of getting around it. And I talked with the people at the thing about it. I'm like, well, what good is the press badge if I can't do any sort of events or anything like that? And she's like, oh, no, this is how you do it. But I'm not going to give away the secrets.
They're still like paying for travel and accommodation and all that shit.
Yeah, I only do Airbnb because I like living in other people's houses first. It's not bad.
You guys got any burritos? You just become the thing that wouldn't leave.
There's two types of Airbnb. There's the good kind where it's like the person just leaves you their apartment for the weekend or whatever, and you're like, oh, cool, great, you know, whatever. Sometimes it's like there might be a roommate, you know, like they'll stay in their room or something like that, and that's fine. You're just like, whatever, I have the space to myself. And then there's the time when you rent a room in a person's house, and then they're there. So that's kind of on the awkward side because I'm like,
it's
I don't
weird.
Normally mind masturbating with someone else in the house, but with complete strangers.
You ever hit him up and you're just like, hey, you want to watch?
You want to watch? Yeah. Exactly.
Sup? I'm about to jerk it. You want to watch?
But I mean,
no touching, but you can watch.
But it's the difference in Indianapolis of a hotel room which costs $250 to an Airbnb room which costs $80.
I always go with the group room.
Because
I got a couple of friends who go to Gen Con every year, like every single year without fail they go.
Oh yeah.
So I would. I would hit them up and be like, yo, get me in on that room.
Let me see how much the current hotels are going for over at Gen Con. Hotels Indianapolis. There we go. But I hate driving down to Indianapolis. It's such a shitty drive.
And of course Indianapolis is one of the most horrible cities on the fucking planet, so there's that.
Well, you get my favorite is just driving down on 65 and you see all the signs about like, you're going to hell if you don't accept Jesus in your life.
Yeah, Indiana's a fucking toilet state. Indianapolis is a shit city. They need to get the fuck out of there.
Okay, let me see.
I mean, don't get me wrong. Illinois is mostly a toilet state as well. There's like a very small subsection of Illinois that isn't garbage. You get like roughly like, I mean, even like half an hour out of Chicago, any direction you're pushing it.
Oh, wow. That's actually not a bad rate for a room. It must be opening up a couple more. Yeah, there's a couple that are actually, the deals are not too bad. Wow. That's actually kind of
crazy. Isn't Gen Con like next fucking week?
Yeah.
How are their deals?
I don't
know.
Well, I'm sure that they have like room like packages that they open up
later. Are you
sure
that's not for 2019?
Yeah, probably. But the, what was I going to say? I'm still, my hotel room and my Airbnb is like half the cost of that hotel room.
Plus you get the chance of being murdered, which is cool.
Yeah, it's always, as I say, it's fear masturbation. It's the best type of masturbation. Yeah.
Like, as you're jerking it, like, are these people going to come out of the fucking back and stab me? Oh my God.
It's like every time you stay at Airbnb, you're just afraid of like James Bond style death traps. Like all of a sudden, like the string is going to come out with like the drip of poison that drips into your mouth.
Yes.
Or they just release like scorpions into my room.
Yes. There's just scorpions in your pillow. You like lay down. You're like, why is my pillow is so crunchy, and you put your hand in, and there's just a bunch of scorpions in the pillow.
It's a big old scorpion. You're like, oh, these things aren't dangerous because they're big scorpions. And then all of a sudden, you're like, ah, little scorpions. Yeah,
there's little scorpions too.
They fooled me with the big scorpion.
They raised my confidence with the big scorpion and dashed it with the small ones.
Yeah. So, I mean, if any of our listeners are going out to Gen Con, want to say hi, I'll be wandering around, whatever. You know, let me know if I need to stop at any specific tables or anything like that. I always like doing that. But there's nothing being released at Gen Con that I'm excited about. No major previews. Nothing that I'm super interested in. I'll see if there's anything good.
There is zero coming out of Gen Con that I'm interested in. I think, Arena Rex will probably have a release, so that'll be solid.
Well, yeah.
But they're like, you know, every year, go get the Arena Rex release.
Yeah. I'll have to go see Raggy and ask him about his political views. Someone was asking about that. I just want to make it clear that the people that Raggy were seeing are not like super Nazis. They weren't like the worst of the worst. They're the ones that you kind of hear about and you go, oh, they're just, that kind of sucks. But aside from that, you're just kind of like, they're not that bad. It's not like they're advocating for white genocide.
At the moment.
At the moment, at least, yeah. So on that end. So we got some tournament stuff going on. Steve went to the Midwest Meltdown.
I did.
And the ATC.
The Midwest Nagashdown.
Nagashdown. And the ATC happened, the American Team Challenge in Nashville, I think it is.
The 40K. Oh, 40K.
Yeah. Okay. And I wanted to mention that one first for two reasons. One, our good friend, our famous Bunker Rat, Tony Grappando's team got in trouble again.
Yes. Aren't they banned from play now?
They are, I believe. So we mentioned Tony before. He was the one who, at the Las Vegas Open, ended up, or Grand Tournament or whatever that he had there. He was the one who made it there. He didn't do anything illegal, but he was just being a dick.
Yeah, that was the thing that happened on stream where everyone was like, boo! He basically was booed. Like, for all intents and purposes, he did something that was considered, I'd say, unsportsmanlike, and everyone was like, boo!
Yeah.
Boo!
Unsportsmanlike, sir.
Yeah, basically, that's what it was.
So his team, Team Happy, representing the Midwest, screwed up again. There was accusations of slow play. Accusations of illegal models. Let me see. They actually released a statement about this, the official statement. There had to be judge rulings. And they were basically, and it was just ATC covering their ass of like, how come you didn't, you know, come down on these guys earlier in the tournament? And they're like, listen, there was like a couple hundred teams there. It's like we can't be on top of every little shit pile that's having problems in there. Apparently, from what I hear, Tony was not the problem. It was one of his teammates that was being like the utter douche.
Very good. There was also there's been a rash of cheating at high profile events.
A rash?
Like, and we're not talking like that one dude who was doing the subtle, the low key cheats.
Yeah.
We're talking like people like just straight up moving models, inventing stratagems to shoot characters that don't exist, using war gear that they don't have, like just straight up like savage cheats. And I believe a few people were caught and banned. But like, yeah, dude, if you're playing in a 40K tournament, apparently you should check with everything your opponent's doing because the cheating is wild. Why? Because they are starting to do cash tournaments for 40K. Because 40K has starting to have cash riding online. Like, and people already cheat. Like, yeah. For
I mean, I cheat all the time because I enjoy cheating.
And then there is a lot of like there's war games. There's a lot of rules. There's a lot of accidental cheating. Like,
yeah. Well, there's a difference between accidental cheating and real cheating,
right? But like consistent, prolonged cheating, definitely a thing, and that's only going to be encouraged by cash prizes.
Yes,
like,
and I completely agree. I don't believe that there should be cash prizes at all.
There's too much. There are too many things, too much variance, too many rules, too many differences in all of the lists to have cash prizes in a game like Warhammer, Age of Sigmar, and Warhammer 40,000. Like Shadespire was the only one that I could say like would be reasonable to have cash prizes for because it's made for that. Possibly Kill Team. I'd have to see how the Kill Team plays out. But like Shadespire, you could totally have a cash tournament for Shadespire and it'd be fine because it's a card game.
The reason why it couldn't work for Kill Team is because Kill Team, there is movement, and anytime you have movement,
oh, is there measuring movement?
Yeah.
Okay.
Anytime you have movement, yeah, you're going to get janky.
That's not good. Yeah. If they're not moving on, I thought it was a grid.
No.
Okay. Yeah, I thought the table came with like a grid. But yeah, if that's the case,
I don't think so.
I don't know. I have no idea.
I think it's just
40K. If it's just measuring movement, yeah. then it's out. And that's really the difference. Like measuring movement is not the only way you could get away with it is to do it X-Wing style where everything is a template of measurement. However, X-Wing has the massive flaw that if you touch something, like if you slide a model in X-Wing, that's titanic. A judge gets called. They like issue penalties because it's a huge fucking deal. Because if models bump each other, they stop moving. So a tiny bit of a push of a model in X-Wing is like a game altering deal, which is another reason to not play that game.
Judge, he touched his model.
From what I understand, the official way the judges resolve that is we come over to the table, you explain the situation. So I say he bumped my model, and you go, yeah, I bumped his model. So then the judge goes, okay, what model was bumped? They go to me and they say, okay, you can set this model up however you'd like, and I just take that model and put it how I want on the table.
That's the worst.
Yeah, it's not ideal, that's for sure.
No, but part of the reason why I wanted to mention with the ATC and what you're saying is it too with cash prizes on the line is that someone actually did an ATC score versus Codex release date of how many points you scored at the ATC for your army versus the release date of your Codex.
Oh, okay.
So you could actually see on the line, like right here, like the top four teams all had like the most recent Codex releases.
Sure, that makes sense.
Imperial, from what I was talking with a guy who actually does a lot of the tourneys, he was saying that part of the reason why Imperial Knights is so high up there is because they're such an outlier army that if you don't take anything to take on Imperial Knights, you lose automatically.
They're a scissor.
Yeah, it's like
they're a scissor. You can play that in a lot of games. Like, and that list is kind of cool. Like, I sometimes like playing scissor lists. Like, I call those the Riverboat Gambling lists because like the Blight Kings on Flies list is like that. You take the all flyer list for Age of Sigmar. That's a list that I could easily see someone going to an Age of Sigmar tournament and just like going 5-0 and it was like crushing everyone with. Also, I can see them going to a tournament and going 0-5 and just getting absolutely shellacked just based on matchups.
Yeah, it's they get their butts pretty whomped if the person has anti-Titan, capabilities. But if they don't have that, they're going to lose automatically, which kind of sucks. No army should ever be like that.
Well, it just means you need to prepare for the game. That's all.
Prepare for the tournament.
Yeah. So that's the thing too. Like tournament. Preparing for a tournament is different than preparing for a friendly game with your buddy. Like,
yeah,
that's why I was talking to you about Nagash.
Nagash.
Well, we'll get into that later. Yeah. You continue your TCT or whatever the hell.
ATC.
TCT.
The ACT. I scored a 26 on the ACT, and I'm going to college, boys. I'm going to college.
Finally.
Finally. However, the one weird outlier is that the Gene Stealer cult book, which has yet to get an actual Codex release, like a real Codex release, scored very high, and they didn't do anything like that. I believe it's the Tonka Trucks, because Tonka Trucks. You know, you can make things happen with that Tonka. Tonka is real. Tonka tough.
But I mean, that makes sense, because the books that are like Necrons, for example, like, they went from being unplayable garbage to decent when their book came out.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, and that was the, but that's the level difference. They're not like, we're the best because our book is new, but they were straight unplayable in their like index version. The index version of those. And I imagine that's the same for a lot of armies. So orcs probably are just dead until they get a codex, and then they might be good for a little while until they're dead again.
Are the orcs ever good?
The orcs, there was a time where the orcs were good for a very short while.
When the orcs were good,
they were a top tier tournament army. When it was the knob bikers, and you took a squad of 8 knob bikers, all with different gear, and because of the way wound allocation rules worked, you got to put 1 wound on each of them until it got through the entire unit, and then you just keep putting units. And then they would start dying after you got a wound on all of them. And then you do the very next wound would actually kill a model. So you'd have to do like 10 wounds to kill one model. And then they had a bunch of saves because they were in the dust cloud.
Oh.
So yeah, they were very, very strong. And of course they're knobs and they have a bunch of fucking sweet gear.
And they get nuked.
Right.
And that's what I was also talking about with the same guy we're talking about.
Well,
the
they got nuked because they changed the wound allocation rules.
Yeah. We were talking about how the living rulebook is really fucked up a lot of the 40K tournament scene. Like, people don't know how to handle a living FAQ. I mean, Sigmar just got FAQ.
Yeah, like, Sigmar just got its errata.
Yeah.
Yeah, they changed a bunch of stuff.
What, anything big on that one?
The biggest change was the gate. There's the spell portal.
Yeah.
They ruled the spell portal. Once you have successfully cast a spell through the spell portal during your turn, you cannot do it again that turn.
Oh, okay.
But it must be successful. So okay. that's a pretty significant nerf.
So you just can't send like six spells.
It's most significant to Nagash and Croak.
Yeah. And we're gonna get into Nagash in a bit.
Yes, but Croak was the other culprit because he has a spell, the Ruination of Cities, which he can cast 3 times, and has, I believe, progressively shorter range with each cast, but it's stronger with each cast. So with the spell portal before, you were dumping out like 45 mortal wounds like very easily. Now it's no longer the case because he can only cast it once through there.
Ah.
So you can still use it, and it still has functionality, and you could do something like cast the spell portal, cast the Ruination of Cities at something not through the portal, cast Ruination of Cities at something not through the portal, and then do the final best version
through the portal.
Through the portal.
Yes.
Right.
That makes sense. But the we're talking about the living rulebook, about how a lot of 40K players are, you know, it's something that happens regularly, and we were talking about this with Shadespire just recently about with the relics, about how people exploit a loophole in the rules. It's not even a loophole. They just exploit a rule, and then people then.
Yeah, the relics weren't really an exploit as much as they were just actually overpowered.
They're just overpowered. But with a living rulebook, Games Workshop will see that. They'll say, we can't have this. Granted, it took them a long-ass time to do in Shadespire, but with 40K and Fantasy, they seem to be doing this a lot quicker.
It was super fast because they actually issued that beta ruling before they did their big FAQ, which I've never seen them do before. Everything else that I've ever seen of Games Workshop has always been like, wait until the FAQ.
Yeah. But they released it, and then they nuked it, and then people are like, but that's my whole deck! I want to play this thing! And it's like, no, they nuked it. You can still play it as it is, but it's not going to be as effective, blah, blah, blah. You have to change yourself. So apparently, like, people with 40K are like, they'll see a massive loophole in an army. Like, you know, when the people were doing
the 8 Hive Tyrant lists?
8 Hive Tyrant lists, or the 100 guard conscript list.
Yeah, the 8 Hive Tyrant list that, like, exoed everyone at Adepticon, and I believe none of the games were even close.
Yeah. So they'll have that, and then they nuke it, and then the people will get upset, like, oh, why did you nuke my my army list that was so unbeatable? Well, because no one wants to play it.
Yeah.
And you're killing the game by doing that. But I want to kill the game. No one wants you to kill the game. And it was interesting. He's saying, like, it's a totally different dynamic than he's ever seen in tournaments. because it changes so rapidly, it's very hard to come up with a beat stick list
that just sticks around.
That sticks around.
I mean, that's good. I like that. That's
I do
better
too.
For the game.
However, I am seeing a lot more, and he was explaining to me his list and some of the lists he's playing against. It's like they're just mishmash lists. All of the lists. They're just gobbledygook, flim flam mishmash. Like I have a unit of Sisters of Battle, a unit of Gene Stealers.
Yeah, the allies are out of control in 40K because I don't know if they'll ever change it because so many people use this thing. So I think it's the worst. And there's nothing against it. Like, you can do it by the rules. I think it's really stupid that you can do it. But so say I'm taking a Necron army. Because of the way the rules are written with those allegiances, they're not the same as allegiances in Age of Sigmar, but I can take my Necron stuff and go, this squad of Necrons is from the close combat faction, and they have close combat stuff. This squad of Necrons is from the shooting faction, and they have shooting stuff. And they'd be like, and then my ally Space Marines are, these are Blood Angels, so they have the Blood Angels special rules. And these Space Marines are Dark Angels, so they have the Dark Angels special rules.
Well, the Blood Angels would ally with the Necrons, but I don't think the Dark Angels can.
Whatever. That's the whole thing. Like, you part out every best special rule, well, and you optimize your list.
Wasn't
that
like an issue with like 7th edition 40K, where it was like when they released it, people were like, Blood Angels and Necrons.
People hated allies until they realized that you could do busted shit with them.
Yeah, that's what everyone does with allies.
I really dislike that's
old school though. If you go back to like 4th edition fantasy, let's say, back then you could put a quarter of your army would be allies, and then you'd be like, okay, here's my Chaos Warriors with an Empire Steep tank, and you'd be like,
For me, the allies is less vexing than having like six different Necron factions in your one Necron army.
Yeah.
That irks me. I'm just like, come on.
Is it irksome?
It is irksome. I would not be chuffed to see that across the table.
I'm really quite chuffed at the way this came out. No, you're not.
I was not chuffed, is what I said.
You're not chuffed. All right, so Steve did his big Age of Sigmar V2 tourney.
The first big 2.0 tournament, yes.
It was in Peoria.
It was.
So I can always ask the question, Steve, will it play in Peoria?
What? Will what play
in Peoria?
It's
an old vaudeville thing. Don't they say, will it play in Peoria?
Why would anyone care about Peoria? Like, 10 people live in Peoria.
Well, that was the joke back in the day, was that they would have a show and they would say, will it play in Peoria? Because Peoria is the most bland, milquetoast place on the planet.
It really is. It's awful.
So it has
terrible.
It has the taste of the vanilla.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. Although we went to a pretty good restaurant down there.
I mean, you're always gonna find good food if you look for it.
It's true, and it is the Midwest. It's like no matter where you are in the Midwest, you're probably gonna find decent food.
Yeah,
there's a reason we're pretty fat.
Yes. Oh my God! Before you tell yourself. I went to a convention last weekend while you were at the crazy one. Mm-hmm. It was called the Oddities Convention.
Oh, I wanted to go to that.
Holy shit.
So did I.
No, well, you'll be glad you didn't go.
Okay.
Okay. So everything in there was awesome. All the dealers were great. It was in the tiny, it was like in a gymnasium, yikes, essentially what it was. And for those who don't know, this was heavily promoted on Facebook for some odd reason. Like, everyone got it in their
Facebook.
And there was all these, the sellers were selling like taxidermy and, you know, a lot of like bone stuff and crazy sculptures and just like interesting stuff that you wouldn't normally
oddities.
See. Yeah, oddities, if you will. I did see a couple that I really wanted to buy, but it was so jam packed with people. We got there about an hour after it opened. There was a line of cars going into the parking lot that were just like down the street. It took us about, after we got
holy
there,
shit.
It took us 15 minutes, 20 minutes to get into the parking lot.
Jesus.
We got a spot, luckily, because I have a handicap placard. but we didn't even get in the handicap spot. We got in there. There was a line to get in. The line went really quick. We get in there and it's packed. This is an hour after it opens. At that point, you know, I have my daughter and my son with me, and we couldn't move the stroller at all. We thought, you know, it might be a little crowded, but, you know, normally at conventions we bring a stroller, no bigger issue. It was so jam-packed that I literally said after about an hour and a half of being there, and not even an hour and a half, an hour after being there, I was like, we have to go. My anxiety was so high just from being around all those people in that confined space. I was like,
that's brutal.
We can't be here. And I go to conventions all the time. We were leaving. The line to get in was stretched around the building twice.
Holy fuck.
And that line of cars that was going out from the convention center was going was three times longer.
Wow.
There was no more parking spots.
Wow.
And just goes to show the power of Facebook to promote
hopefully
this thing.
Hopefully they go to a bigger venue next year.
And that's what I said. I go, and it was like, there wasn't even that many sellers. I'm like, Jesus fucking Christ. Those sellers must have been making a mint.
Yeah.
You know, that was definitely a seller's convention.
Yeah, geez.
Yeah. They did have a cool, like, sideshow stage where they'd have, like, sideshow acts come on and do, like, laying on the bed of needles.
The hammer the nail in the nose and stuff.
Yeah.
Nice.
Like, real pinhead blockhead stuff. Yeah. Yeah, blockhead, not
blockhead.
Pinhead.
Yeah. Blockhead, the dude who all hurts himself.
Yeah. And then they had, like, this what song did they do? It was, like, Rocky Like a Hurricane, but they had, like, grinders that were shooting off the sparks to like a hurricane. I'm like, that's great. I would just sit and watch this show.
Nice.
But it was crazy. Anyway, go to your
fair enough. Jesus,
yeah. You'd be glad you didn't waste your time.
Yeah,
you went to Peoria
awful.
Instead.
That sounds awful.
You drove 3 hours to Peoria.
Hopefully, really 2.5 hours.
2.5 hours.
Hopefully, the next year it's a bigger venue.
Yeah.
And I hope the venue is bigger at the Midwest Meltdown next year as well. Because let me tell you, it was tight in there.
Yeah.
You had your table, and then there was like maybe half a foot between the next table and you. There was no space for anything. It was very tight.
Did you have to plan styrofoam blocks?
No, the terrain was nice. The terrain was nice. It was all actual terrain, and then everyone who showed up to the tournament brought a piece of terrain, and those were used on the boards. They're just this is just a piece of terrain, and they had a contest for the coolest piece of terrain.
Were they like, is this a ruin?
A ruin? Well, no, that's the cool thing about Age of Sigmar is like terrain doesn't matter what it is anymore. You just roll the dice, and that's what the terrain is, which I like. Unless you're using the war scrolls, which no one uses at tournaments, but are very fun to use in the game. Yeah, so it was the Midwest Nagash Down. Five Nagash players showed up. In the top eight, there were four Nagash players, and the other Nagash player was just outside of the top 10, I believe because he suffered brutal back-to-back losses to Nagash players. I believe that is what sent him packing, which, of course, were well-deserved.
That sent him to the Netherrealm?
Because he was playing Nagash.
Yes.
Yes. So Nagash, holy shit. Nagash, I don't know if he's broken, but he's definitely game warping. Giving him access to six additional spells from the realm puts a model that was already incredibly strong well over the top.
Especially, how many points did we say? He was 600?
Oh, he's 840 points.
He's 840 points in a 2,000-point list.
Yeah, and he's 16 wounds. Like, he's not unbeatable. Like, he was very strong before, but you didn't see Nagash lists crushing tournaments before. But now, there's a couple different factors. One, he gets six extra fucking spells, which is insane, because he casts eight, which means before, he could cast more spells than he knew. That was one of the limiting factors for him. Now he knows more spells than he can cast, and he can cast eight spells. He can dispel eight spells. You take there's a combo to give him +5 to cast and +5 to dispel, which means in my first game I played against Nagash, and I was rolling pretty well to cast. My only game of the day where I rolled well to cast, rolling 10s and 11s, and he was just dispelling them very easily because he had +5. So yeah, if you bring a magic list to a tournament and you play Nagash, you'll lose. If your list is depending on that magic at all.
That's why I will play Khorne.
Yeah, you'll flat out lose. He's not unbeatable, but he's format warping. So is that healthy? Probably not, but I think you'll be... Like, I've changed my list. The next tournament list I have is absolutely no casters. It's all Blight Kings. It's just going to run up and hit things really fast.
That's why I play Khorne.
Yeah, Khorne is a wise call for it because you don't care about spells, and you can run up and beat his ass.
And you have lots of dispels.
Right, and you can work him over. That's the thing, too. Like, if you get there, like, you can kill him. Like, he's tough, but he's not like...
He's like, nah!
He's got good saves, but he's not fucking ridiculous. Like,
you've hurt my bones!
He is all about casting. So, like, if you are trying to compete with him in the magic phase, you will lose. And then the biggest thing he has, like, arguably his biggest buff actually was the Endless Spells, which is the...
Your Endless Spells.
Once again, the portal. The spell portal. His spell Hand of Dust, the thing that made Hand of Dust somewhat reasonable and made it weak is that it hit a 3-inch range. So it was very rare to get Hand of Dust off. Now, you get Hand of Dust off on demand almost anywhere on the board because you cast a fucking portal, cast it through the portal, and you put the portal it's 18 inches away from where you cast it. So you go, oh, 18 inches. There's the portal. 3 inches from your guy. Hand of dust. And hand of dust, everyone. If you're in here, here's how hand of dust operates. Joe, I go, oh, Joe, nice Celestine Prime. You're like 500 point death model. Okay, so I got hand of dust off. You failed to dispel it because I rolled like a fucking 16 or something stupid. So you can't possibly dispel it. Now I pick up a dice. I show you my hands. I grab one dice. I put my hands behind my back, and then I put my hands in front of me. You pick my hand. If you pick my hand with the dice, your model dies. That's it. There's no saves. There's nothing else. Just straight up, if you pick that fucking dice, your model dies flat out. So that he has on demand now, and he's hand of dusting other Nagash, the guy who won hand of dusted two other Nagashes, and like he handed us a big model every game. I think the first one was Great and Clean One. Then it was like every time, like his list, his tally, like he nuked the biggest model on the board every game with hand of dust.
That sounds that sounds fun.
Yeah, it's not fun.
that sounds like a
yeah,
like
so
a romp.
So don't bring giant models unless you don't care, because this there was the second place undefeated list, because there are two lists ended up going undefeated. The second place was a Sylvaneth list, and it was a Sylvaneth Monster Mash list. So it had the Beetle, it had Tree Lords, and it had, that was it. Like, it just beat, and he defeated, I believe, two Nagash players. So it's not unbeatable. You just need to be prepared for it. And I
the
think
the lore of life versus the lore of death.
A lot of people were bringing soft lists with some casters and some endless spells. Like, oh, I got some endless spells, you know, we're gonna, you know, but turn that. Those lists are like pure Nagash bait. Like, he's just gonna just destroy them, because like they're not gonna cast anything. They've wasted points on casters, wasted points on their endless spells.
And plus, you like the chain rasps and all those other little like things that go with Nagash are so cheap that you can create a lot of wounds out of very little points.
So, but a dedicated shooting list could whoop up on him. Really strong Daughters of Cain list, no question, could whoop up on him, because they'll chew through his fucking skeletons and then chew through him. So yeah, it's possible to beat him, but like if you're bringing like an, it seems that Age of Sigmar 2nd Edition, I obviously only played in one tournament, but I got like, I feel I learned a lot. I saw what was successful, and it seems like playing an all-rounder, like I'm bringing these things to do this. No. You need to, like, your list needs to 100% be effective at what it wants to do. So if you're playing a shooting list, like the Stormcast shooting list, you need four ballistas.
Are you, what was I going to say? I totally had something until you said the ballista thing, and then my mind went, ooh, ballistas.
Ballistas.
With the command points, how did that end up working for you in the tourney?
Oh, they were fine. Yeah, the command points are good. I actually got somewhat nerfed because I had designed my list to use the Glotkin's ability multiple times. I submitted my list, and then I saw that there was a house rule that the Glotkin's ability couldn't be used multiple times, and I was like, fuck. So my list kind of got hosed.
Why would they?
It did end up getting errated on the errata on Monday. So I guess he got it. I guess he got like word in advance that was going to be errated. So he like just did it first. Because there's a guy who won the tournament is on the U.S. rules team.
Oh, isn't that great?
Yeah. So they ruled that like, yeah, this is gonna be FAQ, so they ruled in advance, and I was like, shit, I would have swapped my list around, because I still think the Glotkin is very strong and very powerful, but I was using the Glotkin with Plague Bearers. I would have used the Glotkin with Plague Monks.
Yeah, oh, okay.
I wouldn't have had time to bring the Glotkin, so I would have changed my list a bit around.
You could have just asked me. I would have just gave you my Plague Monks.
Well, fair, but I don't like playing with models I didn't paint.
Yeah.
So that kind of happened, which was unfortunate. But the command points were cool. It was very cool. There were some awesome combos that you can do now that you couldn't before. Like, for example, you can use the Glotkin's ability on the unit of Plague Bearers to give them all +1 attack, and then you can also use the Lord of Blight ability to give them -1 to be hit in hand-to-hand and -2 to be shot at. So they're suddenly +1 attacks across the board, -4 to be shot, and -2 in hand-to-hand.
Woo!
Very, very hard to kill. And you combo it. I was on the opposite end of this combo when I played one of the Nurgle Mirrors. You combo that with the Wither Stave, which is within 12 inches, any 6s to hit have to be rerolled. So you're fighting Plague Bearers, you only hit them on 6s, and you need to reroll those 6s.
Interesting.
Yeah, so that's pretty good.
And what about, did you see anybody playing, what's it called, War War Scrolls? Not, yeah, War Scrolls.
War Scrolls?
Nah, what's the word I'm looking for?
Endless spells?
No.
There were shit tons of endless spells.
Really?
Yeah, ton of them. The one...
Well, I can see the mirror portal.
One person brought a purple sun. They were playing undead.
Yeah.
And they just fucking went ham with it. They just blasted it everywhere because they didn't care if it killed their own models because they were playing undead.
Oh, well, yeah.
Which is cool. Like, I liked it. And he said it did way more than its points and damage in every game.
Yeah. Well, War Scroll Battalions. Was anybody bringing War Scroll Battalions?
Oh, yeah. Everyone brought battalions. If you have a viable battalion, you bring it.
Yeah.
And I think that's the key what I was talking about, where you make a more focused army. Like, I think that I took the Blightsist, and it's 240 points. It's a lot of points.
That's a lot of points. I was going to say, like, I took one that for 200 of my corn list, and I'm like, that's a lot of points.
And but. I think that I did myself a disservice by not just taking more Blight Kings. Like, you need to do your support at the absolute minimum, like what you think is the best support. So my new list right now is 25 Blight Kings, 2 Shrines of Nurgle, and then characters.
Ah.
And that's my list to be focused on the Blightsist.
The shrines are the ones carried by the giants, right?
Yeah. So my Blight Kings will have a 4+, 5+, 6+ save. And they'll re-roll wounds to hit, or re-roll wounds.
Crazy.
So they'll be strong. Yeah. But I think that's what you need to do. You need to, like, you need to pick your army and really, like, zero in on, like, what you're doing with this army. So, like, I designed the Daughters of Cain list for my wife. And
My wife.
And what I did is I did the hit and run list, because one of their cults or covens has the ability to retreat and then still charge, which is extremely powerful, because when you retreat, you can move through models. I have to check to see if you still can. So what you can do is say you have chaff in your front line, right? And you've got your good stuff in the back. So witches charge in, they fight, blah, blah, blah. In the next round, they retreat, they run through your unit, and then they charge the unit that they were guarding.
Oh.
And then they also have, there's another one, their ranged units, the Sisters of Slaughter and the Gargoyle Girls with spears. They have a rule where they can retreat and do their ranged attacks and then charge as well. So, like, there's a lot of mobility and there's a lot of shooting, and it should be able to, like, piece out targets really quick. So, like, for example, Nagash, you just charge the blob of skeletons he's hiding in and then retreat through those skeletons and then get to Nagash and just throw all your fucking dice at him. So making your list and it's based around a battalion. They have a battalion that lets you add witches to it. You can count 2 witches for it, and that gives them the retreat and charge thing. It's powerful, and that, I think, is the key. Is you pick what your strategy is going to be, and you focus it. So my other list is completely different from my Blight King list. It uses no Blight Kings, and it's Horticulus Slimix, a tree list. So, like, everything is based around his battalion and trying to grow as many trees as fast as possible. And just being focused, because I think the more focused your list is in Age of Sigmar, the better it's going to be it's going to perform in a tournament. Even if you lose, you'll still have a better performance out of your list. So because you'll have redundancy, and I think that's a key. Because, like, I had 130 man blob of plague bearers, and fuck, man, I really wish I had 2. It was like, I wish I had 2 or none, because that's how it felt. Because it was like fuck, like, I really should have had another. Like, they were like, either like, fuck, every game I was either like, this unit's fucking garbage, I don't want it, or another game would be like, man, I wish I had 2 of this unit. So I think and that's the best performing Nurgle list was a Grit and Cleanun list with 2 blobs of plague bearers, because with that nerf to the Glotkin, the Grit and Cleanun is better for specifically buffing plague bearers, because the Grit and Cleanun's ability is that ability. He gives them +1 attack. Glotkin's better when you do it to plague monks, obviously, but the Grit and Cleanun can only do it to demons. So there's your differences right there. But I had a great time. It was a really good event.
Overall, had a good time.
Yep. Overall, had a good time. I was massacred twice, and I massacred twice. There was no close games. It was like, it was a blowout. I was either blown out or did the blowout.
Had a horseshoe sandwich.
I played 2 Nurgle Mirrors.
Kind of sucks.
Yeah, you play Nurgle Mirrors a lot. There were only 7 Nurgle players, though, I guess, so. Or were there... I think there were 11.
Oh, that's not... Cool if there was 7.
There might have been 7. Yeah. I think there might have been 7. I don't know, but whatever. There was a decent amount of Nurgle players there. The mirror is a little weird, because, like, a lot of times Nurgle, like, they haven't played the mirror, so you have to explain how fucking whack it is, because, like, there's only one wheel. You share the wheel. The Nurgle special rules every turn, you share that. The trees. So the way the wording goes on the trees are, you get D3 contagion points, for each tree on the battlefield that does not have an enemy unit within 3 inches of it. So that means that your trees give me points and my trees give you points, provided that our models aren't near the trees. but it's opposite day. So if my models are near your tree won't give you points, but I'll get points, unless your models are also near your tree. And then there's a bunch of spells that flat out do nothing because they don't affect Nurgle units. One of the wheels is you get to roll a dice and D3, or you pick D3 or D6 units that are all within 7 inches of each other, and they each take D3 mortal wounds. Unless they're Nurgle units, so that turn of the wheel just does nothing. It's pretty funny. There's Putrid Blight Kings. They have a rule where every hero phase you roll a dice, and on a six, they heal D3 mortal wounds to Nurgle units or deal D3 mortal wounds. But you have to test. So your Blight Kings charge at each other, then they roll to see if they heal themselves, and roll to see if they heal the Blight Kings they're fighting. So yeah, it's very wonky.
Wow.
And usually determined by who wins initiative, for the most part. Like, the more you win initiative, the more you win in that matchup because you're playing the same army.
Well, all right. Let's move on. Let's move on to something a little different.
Yeah, Domus ran a good event. Domus, shout out if you're listening. I know you aren't, but hey. Hey.
Hey. Next, somebody talked about, I think it was either last cast or the cast before, we were talking about how come Dungeons & Dragons, and how come Wizards of the Coast has never created a Dungeons & Dragons manual for one of their magic realms. And lo and behold, literally this week, they're going to be, the new book they're going to be releasing is A Guide to Ravnica, which is, I guess, one of the worlds of magic, or is it the magic world?
Yeah, so they've done this before in D&D. They've done magic supplements in D&D, but they've never been printed. They've always been released on the website.
Yeah, that doesn't count.
They did Zendikar. I mean, they were official supplements, but they never had a printed book. This is the first actual printed book that has a magic world for D&D. Mm-hmm. I was always talking about they should do D&D in magic.
Because they've
done magic in D&D before, never as a printed book. This one is the first.
Yeah.
Which is pretty cool. So Ravnica is the city of guilds. It's the most popular plane for Magic the Gathering. Yeah,
it's with all the different, like, 11 guilds or whatever,
yes,
13 guilds.
It's every two-color combo.
Yeah, okay.
So it's every two-color combo has a guild. So, like, white and black, white and blue, white and red.
So you might have heard something more than what I know. Are they incorporating any of the kind of magic-y things to this, like any of the mechanics, like the different colors, red, you know, red, green, whatever.
I have absolutely no idea.
Which would be interesting if they would do something like that. Like, you have to, along with your alignment, you have to choose what color you are. You know, like, I'm a red mage or whatever, and then that gives you bonuses for something that has to do with whatever the guild you were talking about that has the red.
Yeah, I think they'll probably have guild things, but like caster. I mean, that's the thing. Like, wizards are wizards in magic worlds.
Yeah.
Only planeswalkers are the ones who do, like, the crazy, like, pulling from all the different, like, spells. So, I have no idea. I have no idea what the hell they're going to do.
You think it's going to be good? Because aren't they doing Eberron?
It's an official D&D supplement. It will be good.
And they're doing Eberron.
Eberron is the digital one.
The digital one.
Yes.
Eberron is the one where you get
to. So, normally, this would be a vice versa situation. You'd have the digital magic supplement and the physical Eberron book, but now, swapping it around.
Well, I was just reading it. I don't remember if I saw it, where I saw it, but it was like in Eberron, you get to kind of fuse yourself with a type of technology. It's like one of the things you could do in Eberron. And the guy was saying, like, I'm going to fuse myself with a car and become the first transformer in Dungeons and Dragons.
Well, they have those mechanical people in Eberron. They're like golems with a soul. I don't know what the fuck they're called. But Eberron's their, you know, it's their steampunk. It's their answer to War Machine. Although it was designed by a fan, so I don't fucking know.
It was designed by a fan.
Eberron was a fan sub. It was like a contest, and like it was a contest to design your own plane, and we had books, and it was a fan design.
I would totally do like the Land of Chocolate, like from The Simpsons, where Homer dreams of the Land of Chocolate. That would be my realm.
Come from the Land of Chocolate. The fucking that song. Yeah. He eats the dog. It's good.
Yes, that's what I would have the Land of Chocolate. It would be like the evil Land of Vanilla on the other side. So it'd be the chocolate versus the vanillas. Wait, I think that would be a little too racy.
As long as the vanillas were the evil ones, you'd be okay.
Well, I mean, the vanillas are the evil ones. Let's be fair.
That is true.
White people suck.
Confirmed. She'd probably put something disgusting in it, like raisins. Did you see that? Black Panther and, on Jeopardy.
Oh, no.
Oh, it's great. It's Black Panther on Black Jeopardy. Oh. And he's like, Linda says she wants to bring potato salad to your picnic. What do you tell her? She's, I'm guessing this potato salad would be bland. Yes. Ah, and she'll probably put something unnecessary in it, like raisins.
That's true.
Yeah, it's true. It's true.
However, I do like oatmeal raisin cookie. That makes me in the minority. A lot of people hate oatmeal raisin cookies.
A lot of people like oatmeal raisin cookie. Oatmeal raisin cookies, people will swiftly rise to the defense of the oatmeal raisin cookie.
I am one of those people who defend oatmeal raisin cookies.
I think oatmeal raisin cookies can be good. However, I think oatmeal raisin cookies are frequently the most fucked up cookie. I
will say a chocolate chip cookie is the most frequently fucked up cookie because more people will fuck.
Well, most people just burn those and they're fine. Like burnt chocolate chip cookies are amazing. But I mean, I think there's plenty of people who make oatmeal raisin cookies and fuck up the recipe so they taste like shit or don't cook them enough so they're like a crumbly mush. I think that's what it is. I think that's why people think oatmeal raisin cookies are bad because they've only ever had bad oatmeal raisin cookies.
Over the summer, you know, I'm with my daughter most of the week, and one time we just recently bought a pack of like the ready to make chocolate chip cookies, you know, like you cut them whatever, and the pre-made cookie dough. And my daughter was like, "What if we just made one giant cookie?" I said, "What do you mean, wonder? We are going to make one giant cookie." So we literally made a giant cookie. And she's like, "We should cut that up." I'm like, "No, we make a giant cookie. We're going to eat the giant cookie as a giant cookie. That's the way it's done."
Nice.
Yes. It didn't really work out that well. You'd have to put it in some sort of taco way. And just it fell apart. It was a mess. But anyway, I did want to mention something that I saw on Bell of Lost Souls today.
Bowls?
Bowls? It was something that made me laugh really hard because I'm like, oh, man, I really, really, really hope that the comments were disabled for it. I'm going to see if I can find it.
I know someone who knows someone who's a moderator of Bowls, and fucking God bless you. they have the worst comment section I've ever seen. There's a meme that's like, I know you probably haven't seen it, but there's a meme that started with Gundam. The original thing was Gundam, and it's a picture of a Gundam shooting a blaster, and it's going over like an arc in the sky, and it says "War is bad," like in the air.
Yeah.
And then the other side, with that beam going way over his head, is a dude with his eyes like with the dots looking at the thing. And he says, "Wow, cool robot." So like, you know, you miss the message. Wow, cool robot. So seeing some of the comments that I got shared to me that were moderated, the 40K thing that to put this into 40K perspective, it's a space marine firing a bolter in an arc, and in the arc is fascism is horrible, humanity is doomed if it goes down this path. Everything is awful, and the guy is looking at it and saying, not wow, cool space marine. He's saying, wow, cool fascism.
Yeah.
Like legit. Like, there are people who are like, don't realize that like it's horrible. Like, the whole point of the grim darkness is like everything fucking sucks. Because it's grim dark, and they're just like, no, that's cool.
Cool space Nazis.
Yeah, it's cool. I want to be a space Nazi. it's like, dude, no.
the article was on Bell of Lost Souls. I think it was either out yesterday or today. I saw it this morning. And it was unpopular opinion. I think they finally need to start adding female Primaris Marines.
Oh, of course. So that's an instant. A female space marine is an instantaneous like. they're like their neck beards like quiver. They hear like someone's talking about female space marines.
But the best thing is that everyone's like, yeah, I think they should get more female models, but not space marines. They're too sacred to have female space marines. Who the fuck cares about your stupid game?
Like, sure, yes, the lore. There's no female space marines. Technically, the male space marines aren't even really male because they're all castrato. Like, they
should talk like this. Yeah,
they dicks don't work.
For the Emperor.
I think they still have their nuts. They're just dicks don't work. They're permaflaccid.
Well, if you ever meet like a real bodybuilder or something like that, when they get that big, their voices start getting really tiny.
Mm.
Most of them from the steroid abuse.
Yeah, I was going to say that's probably the roids.
They talk like this. Like, for the Emperor.
I'm going to say that's probably the roids. but yeah, no, their dicks don't work. They're flaccid, which I guess like a lot of the incels really relate to. that's probably why they like the space marine so much.
That's it blowing in the wind.
Yeah, just a bunch of flaccid dongs. I'm like, no, I relate to that. So there can't be women. They can't have flaccid dongs, which I mean, to be fair.
That's correct. Yeah. They can't have flaccid dongs.
They can't have flaccid dongs. Oh, God, So yeah, it's quite ridiculous. I mean, I don't care. Like, I think female Space Marines look cool. Sure, whatever. Who fucking cares?
Like, yeah, it doesn't matter. Like, there used, goddamn there Space used Marines. To be Christmas Marines in canon. Like, yeah. If they could get rid of that,
the Rainbow Warriors.
Well, no, that's canon right there, man.
What I would actually really like to see, to be honest, and like this one would be good because it would be good because it would add female Space Marines, and it would also. Give the people who claim they don't want female Space Marines, quote unquote, for the lore, who are like the lore. Those guys who are like quote unquote, is you make new chapters of Space Marines from the Adeptus Sororitas, like whatever
sororitas.
Their sororitas. You make whatever their branch of the Imperium is. You make their like they were working on their own Space Marine chapters because the Primaris came out because they're new. They're new Space Marines. Guess what? The Sororitas were also working on it. So now you just have straight up chapters of Space Marines from that group.
I think the more important thing is the integration as opposed to having your own separate boys' room, girls' room.
No. They join the regular they join the regular fleets of Space Marines, but like the reason there are female Space Marines in this one, like your lore reason is because the Adeptus Sororitas is where it came from.
Oh no. So, well then you just say that like Call came up with it when he created the Primaris. Boom, done.
Oh yeah, sure. You do that too.
that's what it is right there.
Also that. Yeah, saying like you put it into the fucking lore. So the only way the only leg they have left to stand on is like I don't want booby marines. Like,
that's literally what it comes down to. If I don't want boobies in my game.
If that's what if
in my macho He-Man game.
Just make them. Take that stance. It's like when you're arguing with a turbo conservative. Just make them take the stance that they don't want children to have healthcare, because that's their stance.
Like with the guy on the Borat show who was naked screaming.
Yes.
Oh, he finally quit, by the way. I don't know if you saw that.
I didn't see that.
Yes, he resigned.
That's good. But yeah,
or he said he was going to resign. Yeah, I don't know if he does.
Just get them to actually state their belief, which is they don't believe that children deserve healthcare. Like. Yeah. If you just get them to say that, because it's what they believe, then you can remove the. I don't like the disingenuousness. Like I'm a fan of if you're a shitlord and you want to say like I don't want fucking women in my game, fucking women, vaginas. Like if you're just
vaginas.
Yeah, if you're just a misogynist, fine. Like you're scum, but it's better if you're just honest with it. Yeah. Like be honest. If you're a scumbag, don't try and hide it. Let people know. Like. Yeah. Instead of be like trying to
let your hate hag flag fly.
Instead of dancing around it,
so
like,
we all know not to play you.
Right, exactly. It's just like
to ostracize
like,
you.
Yeah, you wear a douchey shirt, and I can look and be like, I'm never gonna play a game with that guy.
Exactly.
Yeah, like it's pretty simple. And you know what? And you'll find plenty of like-minded scumbags who you can play games with, and you guys can have the most fervent rules arguments in the history of the world, because I guarantee people like you definitely would.
Well, I think Team Happy, which is the team that got banned from the ATC, I believe that they had a kind of a Nazi-ish name that they had that they were not allowed to put there.
For nice.
It was like Team Jackboot or something like that.
Yeah, it's like, very good.
Oh, okay. All right. This is wonderful. This is wonderful.
There we go. We come back to the whole thing. Fascism bad. Hey, cool Nazis. I mean, don't get me wrong. Nazi aesthetic, very cool. Like, it's fucking cool looking. They got the fucking sick ass black trench coats and like those hats.
With the skull on
the
top. The
skulls? Yeah. That shit looks. Don't get me wrong. That shit looks fucking cool.
Are we the baddies?
Yeah. Do you think we're the baddies?
We have skulls on our hats.
I think we're the baddies. Yeah. Like, that shit looks fucking cool. You definitely still shoot them, but they look cool. Yeah. Like, you can say to their corpse, you can be like, damn, that's a fucking nice jacket.
I'm gonna take that jacket.
Yeah, I'm gonna take that jacket. I'm taking that jacket, Kraut.
I'm gonna take this guy's jacket as a souvenir for when I killed him on the battlefield. And someday my great-grandson will wear it while carrying a tiki torch in North Carolina.
not me. My grandpa, I looked at a Nazi helmet in my hand, and I'm like, hey, grandpa, what's with this weird hole in the helmet? He's like, that's where I stabbed him in the head. And I was like, oh. And he's like, yeah, I took it off his body. And I was like, oh. Cool. That's pretty cool, Grandpa.
All right. One last thing before we end today. They previewed the Battle of Pelennor Fields box set. Forge World did.
Yeah, it looks nice.
Yeah,
I like it. It's New Theoden, right?
Well, it's kind of a mishmash of a lot of different things. You have the Riders of Rohan, Army of the Dead,
Rohan,
a new and some Warriors of Rohan on foot. The new plastic Theoden mounted and on foot. And on the evil side, you get a bunch of orcs, a troll, Witch King on the Fel Beast, and a new Witch King model on foot. I believe a new plastic on foot. So that's a new thing there. Very disappointed that those that they're still riding on, you know, with 20-year-old sculpts at this point.
I think that I'm not 100% certain, but they probably have a licensing agreement and can't make new sculpts unless they revisit it. That would be my guess.
There actually is truth to that. There is a they cannot make like all of the new stuff that they've been putting out and Forge World's been putting out is all non movie related stuff. So like the dwarf stuff and elf stuff, you know, orcs and stuff like that. A lot of it is nothing to do with what's going on in the movies. And so, like, the Battle of Pelennor Fields, they're doing a lot of, like, Swan Knight stuff and things like that
right,
that
which
aren't
is great
in the movies.
Those Swan Knight models are the most expensive models in Lord of the Rings. Like, the metal ones, they're so goddamn expensive. Because not only are they rare metal models, you can't get them in Finecast.
Yeah.
So they're, like, those are the ones I made a shit ton of money on. Like, when I blind bought that fucking collection of metal Lord of the Rings figures. Yeah. I was like, sure, I'll blind buy that. I'll take a risk. And like when I was cleaning it off, I'm like, holy shit, there's a bunch of Swan Knights in here.
Woo!
Yeah, so that definitely made bank. But yeah, it looks like a great box set.
Yeah, depending on the cost, it's pretty cool. From what I hear, the rule set's going to be pretty solid. Taking a lot of what they did with the last edition with the...
Is it going to be a rules update or is it going to be...
It's a full rules update.
Really?
Okay. I believe with the whatever the last rule book they put out.
There and Back Again was the last rule book from Forge World.
Okay, maybe it'll be the same rule book put into there, but it's maybe just repackaged or whatever.
Yeah, the full contents are King Theoden on foot and mounted, 12 Riders of Rohan, 12 Warriors of Rohan, 20 Warriors of the Dead, the Witch King of Angmar on Fel Beast, 36 Morannon Orcs, and a Mordor Troll.
Oh, so maybe you're not getting a new one on foot. I heard there's rumors that there will be a new Witch King on foot.
That seems likely. There's some Gondorian reinforcements from Forge World. There's Huron the Tall. There's the Knights, the Swan Knights. And that Witch King might be a new sculpt, the Witch King on Fel Beast.
Oh, maybe that's what I heard.
I think that's a new sculpt because that it looks. I mean, it's hard to tell because it looks like a fucking Fel Beast.
Yeah.
But it's definitely a new paint job. That's not their paint job from the old book. So there's a good shot that that's a new model. But it looks great. I might end up picking it up to just have as a boxed game, because I think the Lord of the Rings game is fun, and I think doing like a like having it as like, this is my Lord of the Rings game. Would you like to play it? It's just this. Like, might be fun.
Yeah. I was talking with a guy about it, like, about that. I was like, if I was going to do anything Lord of the Rings, I would just do, like, what's his, not Gothmog, the orc from, the white orc from The Hobbit. What's his name?
Oh, Azog.
Azog.
Yeah.
I would just do Azog, like, two boxes of, like, the warriors and some of the big.
And you got to do a son.
Trolls. You don't have to.
Come on.
Nah, you don't have
come
to.
On.
Nah,
come on.
It's because that
Bolg. Come on,
Bolg.
He's Bolg. You gotta get him in there.
Bolg.
Yeah.
Bolg. Bolg. Bolg.
Bolg is fucking cool. Bolg made Legolas bleed.
He did.
How sweet. Bolg. Bolg.
My favorite is it. I finished Shadows of Mordor. Or Shadows of War, and my favorite is the orc captains that you just see them, and they like they're screaming, they're like saying their names like Razak, Razak, Razak. It'll be like Razak the Screamer, and then he'll go up and he'll just be like, and that's awesome. It. He doesn't say anything; he just screams. I'm like, well, that's an appropriately named orc right there. Yeah. Oh, also at the Forge World Open Day. When they showed off the Battle Portal Field, someone stole one of the Adeptus Titanicus models.
Yeah, I saw that. Some dickhead ran off with one of those models.
Like, of all things to steal from the Forge World event, it's like, why that?
Opportunity? That's the only thing I can think of. Someone had the opportunity.
Twisting his mustache, going, yeah! No one else will see this miniature! For 3 weeks until the game is released.
It's so weird.
Yeah. Oh, well. Oh,
Battle
wow.
Power Fields. I kind of think I'm going to do that. I'm going to just grab that box set and just fucking paint it up.
You're not going to paint it up.
Why not?
You're not going to do that. Because you're going to take one look at those Riders of Rohan models and go, no.
But I like the Riders of Rohan models.
No, you like them in theory. You don't like painting them. They're awful to fucking paint.
I'll be fine.
Also, just to give an update.
It'll be fine.
Before we go, update on the 3D printer. I finished my Titan. So
wow. Did you clock how many hours?
I didn't clock how many hours. It ended up being about 4 days fully printing. 5 days fully printing. That's usually about running nonstop going through there. I wouldn't continuously print because every once in a while there'd be like, it'd be printing, 6 hours in, power outage. God fucking damn it!
Yeah, I know you had you were talking about all of the errors and foibles.
It's the worst. But yes, it did finish up, and it looks really cool. I'm very happy with it.
I'm thinking maybe like 5 more years I'll get a 3D printer. I want to wait for that level of progression in the technology.
It's pretty cool. Because
I know there's a lot of self-correcting ones that are coming out. There's like the next step is to do all, because you said you had to build those like weirdo like support struts and like things would fall and like that kind of shit. Like I want it to the point where it is literally just me going push button, get Titan.
Well, that's the thing that most people like
they think
want.
It is.
Well, that's what I didn't think it was, because I had heard from people like there's a lot of it. I didn't know it was quite so much, but like it's here. So here's just the top part that I finished up.
Nice.
So yeah, it ended up being really fun to put together and play with so far. And here's him next to his brothers.
Nice. It looks nice. I mean, it's definitively not a Forge World Titan, but it looks nice.
Yeah. I mean, like, anybody who knows what a Forge World Titan looks like are like, that looks like Plasticard.
Yeah. You made that out of Plasticard, huh? Yeah. You're like, kinda?
Yeah, kinda. I really didn't make it so much as I just pushed a button and it
came out in pieces. Came
out
in pieces that I then assembled.
Yeah, I'm doing terrain next is the next thing I'm working on.
Yeah, I think a 3D printer for terrain would be really ideal. Like doing like Shadespire, like blocking terrain pieces and stuff. Now you can do lethal pieces. Although lethal pieces wouldn't be useful because you got to move on to those spaces.
Yeah. Well,
I haven't had a chance to play a game with the lethal tiles yet, but I have a feeling it's going to be degenerate.
Well, it'd be kind of fun to do, and I was thinking this with like it would be really impractical, but it would be really fun to make. Like a 3D style Shadespire board. It would take forever to make, but like where you could do like multiple levels and things like that. It really wouldn't have any effect on the game. It would just look really fucking cool. I thought that would be a really neat idea, but that's just me.
Okay, I could see that. Actually,
you know, like Hero. Remember?
No, you know what? There's a guy who did that. I saw him on. He's a Polish dude. I saw him on the
Did he make out of drywall?
It might have been because it was painted, so I could have been drywall.
Drywall and plumbing equipment.
No, it was I saw it. It was really nice. He did. He built just fully 3D boards, but all of the hexes were flat, but they were at different heights and stuff.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
What was it? What was that old game, Hero Quest? No,
HeroScape.
HeroScape. Yes. HeroScape.
You could do that. I thought his board looked. For me, I was like, that looks really nice. That's way too high effort for what Shadespire is as a game. But it looks very cool.
Leave it to the Polish, man. Leave it to the Polish.
I think if I were really into doing like four player games, I think that would be a really cool setup, because you do four boards.
Yeah.
And you set up like to have like a nice like four man battle. So something you're not gonna be moving around. But like the whole point of Shadespire is like it's portable. You bring it everywhere with you, like you can play it anytime you want.
It's not like Puerto Rico.
Yeah, not like Puerto Rico. Yeah, so it's
I'm gonna be doing a 3-day Puerto Rico tournament at Gen Con. All right, so go to planetarbitrary.com for your Planet Arbitrary needs. You can follow me on Twitter at Planet Arbitrary. You can follow Steve at
I am Command Throw.
Like our Facebook page, Game Classy Podcast. The best way to get in contact with us through the Facebook Messenger, or just leaving something on the page, something you want us to talk about. I don't think we had anything that we were supposed to talk about in today's cast that we didn't already cover. You could also
I don't think anyone sent us any specific requests.
No, nothing specific. Okay. You could also
if you send us a request to talk about something, we'll talk about it.
Well, free content, man.
We gotta get this content going.
You could like our Instagram pages. I am Game Classy Joe. Steve as
Command Throw.
Just Command Throw. He posts pictures of his lunches.
And I posted a picture of my terrain piece as well. A video, actually.
It's a video.
Yeah, because it lights up.
Video killed the radio star.
It did. And it lights up.
You can like our sister podcast. We have game Play On Podcast.
Oh, I also challenge you to Warhammer 40,000 Monopoly.
Me?
Yeah, you. I challenge you to Warhammer 40,000 Monopoly.
All right, I get to be the race car, though.
That's fine. If you can find a race car, you can be it.
It's actually a Gene Steeler
limo.
I'm
sure they'll have a rhino. I'm sure they'll have a rhino as be one of the pieces.
But that's the thing. It should just be Space Marines, but it's going to be like a Space Marine helmet, a rhino.
Sure. You know what's kind of bogus, though? I know they're going to be regular ass, maybe different colors, but they're still going to be regular ass hotels and houses.
Yeah.
Because many moons
Not
ago.
Not like a hab block.
Well, many moons ago, I got a Star Wars Monopoly. The Star Wars Monopoly, the hotels looked like little... those like square kind of Tatooine buildings, they use them for everything. They're on Endor. They're on
like a bunker
Tatooine. Yeah. They're like kind of like that squared bunker thing. That was a house, and a hotel was a Millennium Falcon. And like, I was like, cool. And then I bought a collector's Monopoly like many years later. And I was sorely disappointed to find that they just were the regular ass houses and hotels. And I was like, what the fuck? I felt like it was so chintzy. And I guess that Star Wars thing was very uncommon. Almost all Monopolies just have regular houses.
Yeah, because there's no effort put into it.
Right.
At all.
Yeah, and I was kind of like, aw.
Yeah, like, come on, they're not going to put, like, hive cities in the fucking, you know, hab blocks.
I don't know, I have four hab blocks that could turn into a hive city.
I can crush you on my quest to become the number one Monopoly champion.
The number one Monopoly champion.
They run Monopoly championships every year.
Oh, yeah.
The cash prize is equal to the starting cash prize of the bank.
You know, that's the big Monaco one is that the starting, you get the starting, it's all real money you put in. There's a buy-in.
Right.
Like your starting buy-in is exactly, like, you have however many.
I think it's like $450.
Yeah. Like, or they up it for like the big one. It's like $1 million prize or something like that. But like when you play in a real Monopoly tournament, $450, that's your money lying in front of you. So when you're buying property,
cash.
You're buying it with your real cash.
Which
is a cool idea. Until you get those cheaters trying to inch move.
Well, that's it. Monopoly's got spaces. You can't cheat. It's got spaces.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Wait, you skipped one. No, I didn't.
You skipped Baltic.
You skipped Baltic Avenue.
You son of a bitch.
Flips the table.
Monopoly is actually a very fast game if you play it 1v1 and you don't use any stupid house rules. The game's actually very quick.
Well, I mean, 1v1 Monopoly sounds atrocious.
I'm challenging you. 1v1, 40k Monopoly.
Atrocious.
Challenge.
I'll tell you what. We'll get Pat B in here. He can
a
play
three,
with us.
A three-man? Three,
yeah.
A three-way? Okay.
And Pat will be easy to play against because he's so polite. He'd be like, no, it's okay.
All right, so here's the deal. Pat is involved. However, neither of us can trade with Pat unless he initiates the trade.
Oh, I don't think that'd be fair.
That's the way it's going to be because I think that using our superior gaming knowledge, we would be able to take advantage of Pat, and I don't want that to be the case.
Well, no, I think Pat would allow us to take advantage of it because he's like, you know what, guys? It's all in fun.
Yeah, no, it's not all in fun.
That's what I say.
It's not all in fun. This is cutthroat. This is 40K Monopoly.
Cutthroat 40K Monopoly.
Yeah, I do. You, me, and Pat in a cutthroat 40K Monopoly game.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
All
right. We're in.
All right. So you could watch. You can also listen to Play On Podcast. It's all about video games. You just had one go up, which was about streamers.
Me versus the streamers.
Just getting mad at PewDiePie.
Ninja now, actually. Well, mostly Ninja's fans.
Okay.
I've never been hit with a barrage of racial slurs on Twitter before. Now I have.
What about Ice Poseidon?
Ice Poseidon?
I don't know. Wasn't he a streamer?
I have no idea. That sounds so stupid. Ice Poseidon. No,
yeah,
no.
I think he's one of those ones that got banned. But no. you started a fight with this guy and his followers came after you?
Yeah.
Why?
Because I said something remotely negative about him.
I
didn't even say anything negative. I just said, like, who are you to give life advice to people? Like, you dropped the N-bomb on stream with millions of people watching. That's what I said. And then, I was blasted with more racial epithets than I've ever seen in my life.
Well, there you go.
It almost made me want to go to SawCon, but, you know, whatever.
All right. And you could also listen to Deconstructing Daycare and the permanently on hiatus Weeb Town.
It's, yeah, pretty much permanently on hiatus. Weeb Town's been replaced with the Command Throw Hour Power Power Hour, basically.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's YouTube. We're just going to... Weeb Town's a YouTube show whenever we feel like randomly doing it.
Yeah. Well, there you go. So, Steve, until next time, post-GenCon.
Post-GenCon. Dun, 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 dun. Wednesday. Hope you enjoyed it.
Well, what's the song that goes with it's No, it's the football song, but it's the one that they always play before, like they go, the seeds of victory planted in September have grown and thrived upon the field in December.
You got me.
It's like dun 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 dun.
That just sounds like a metal song.
Game classy.